Over the last few weeks, we've had the opportunity to hear from not only just our students, but from a number of you about things that are on your bucket list. A list that's nothing more than simply a collaboration of things that you want to make sure that you do before you kick the bucket. And I gotta wonder, have you been inspired to make your bucket list yet? You know, a lot of us have these things that we want to do, but to sit down and actually vocalize them, to see them written down on paper, it's inspiring and challenging to not let a day or a week or another year slip by. A lot of the things that have been on the bucket list as I've been able to talk with people as we've put these videos together, there's been a few common themes that have popped up. Things that they've always wanted to do. Go scuba diving, visit the bottom of the ocean, or maybe be a civilian and go to the moon. And it's crazy to think that, you know, as time goes by, as technology continues to get more and more advanced, that these things are actually going to be possible. Blows my mind. But one of the other comments that popped up time and time again is this desire to make an impact in other people's lives. It could be in their family or their friends or just the world in general. And this is a common theme that's not just here within us here at Central. It is something that it's a way that's taking place across America, this desire to make our world better. As a matter of fact, there's this website that has gained a whole lot of popularity. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called dosomething.org. It's a whole website designed to organize and motivate people to make the world a better place today than it was yesterday, to make an impact in people's lives that maybe needed it today. And so they've organized people to do all kinds of events, and some of them make a lot of sense, and some of them have you scratching your head like, what in the world, who came up with this? And it's just people like you and I who get together and share their ideas, and all of a sudden these ideas start to gain traction. And they start doing some fun things, some really impactful things. For example, one of their things that they started to do was they wanted to make birthday cards. Birthday cards for homeless people. Never would have thought about that before. You know, we do what we can to help take care of their physical needs, to make sure they have some food. We've been challenged by some of our missionary partners, our missions partners, to make these bags that have some moist towelettes and toothpaste and some deodorant to help them feel like a person again. But never in my mind have I ever considered making a birthday card, you know, for somebody who's missing out on their family, feels totally alone. You know, I gotta admit, when my birthday comes along, and if you have Facebook, yours Facebook's probably a lot like mine, where you're just inundated with all the people that tell you happy birthday, happy birthday, happy birthday. And when you're homeless, nobody probably even recognizes. What a cool little thing. Another thing that they came up with was this idea of doing a collection, trying to collect jeans for teens. And they did an amazing job of providing clothes for teenagers who grow up in families where they don't have enough money, where they may not even have a bed, let alone a fresh pair of jeans to wear. And they collected millions of jeans for teens. Another kind of little quirky thing that they did was somebody came up with this idea of cleaning up the environment. And so they started this campaign to get everybody activated to go out and pick up all the little pieces of cigarettes that were flicked off and discarded and are all over the road and sidewalks and the parks and the grass and whatever. And it doesn't sound like a very fun thing to do, does it? But, you know, they collected 3.7 million cigarette pieces off the ground. You know, our desire to make an impact in this world is not just here among us, here in the church. This desire to make an impact, to leave our world better, to make our family and our friends' lives better because we were in it. It's a desire that we all have. You could almost say we're wired to care about one another. Or maybe we were created that way. You know, if I want to make an impact on somebody's life, I can think of no better way to do it than to share with them the greatest thing that I have. What's the greatest thing that you can share with people around you? The one thing that maybe we're the most timid to talk about, because, you know, we'll talk about cleaning up cigarettes all day. We'll talk about collecting clothes for a clothing drive. But when it comes to talking about Jesus and my faith and the reason for hope, we get a little gun-shy. I got to admit, I'm one of those guys that I don't like overstepping my bounds. I don't like speaking up when it's not my place. And there's been times where I've had an opportunity to stand up and to speak, and I didn't want to offend anybody. And so I closed up, and I chose not to speak. And some of you guys, you're relating with me right now, right? You don't like conflict. Then there's others of you that are totally the opposite. You don't care one way or the other. If it's in your mind, it's coming out your mouth. Some of you are laughing. I'm not sure if it's at yourself or at your spouse. But if it comes in our mind, it's out, and we just got to share. And sometimes that's really great, and sometimes that gets ourselves into trouble too. But, you know, this week we're talking about saying what needs to be said. And I can't think of any bigger impact that I can make in somebody's life than tell them about the reason why I have hope. To share with them why I am not freaking out right now with all the turmoil and all the frustration and anger that's happening throughout our country, the discord and chaos that's taking place throughout this world. If we sit down here and itemize what's taking place, you know, it could be a little scary. But because I know God's in charge and He has a plan, I have a sense of hope and calm in it all. How has God impacted my life? Man, how much time do we have? I can sit here and tell you about the people that He's brought into my life that has spoken into me, who has mentored me, who has helped me to become the man of God that I am, the father that I am, the minister that I am, the people who stepped up and helped me through a really tough time. God has given me pause when everything inside me is just wanting to freak out. God has got me through some really difficult times when I felt like my whole world was crashing down. How has God impacted you? How has following Jesus changed your life? In just a second, I'm going to ask for us to open up and talk to one another. But before we do that, I want to set some ground rules. I'm going to ask you to open up, and I'm going to ask you to share. And I want you to share with people that maybe you didn't even come with. So grab other people around you and introduce yourself if you don't know them. But when you share something, it's a little nervous, a little nerve-wracking, because you're opening up and you're sharing what's on your heart, what's in your mind. And right now, I want a judgment-free zone. Don't be shocked at what they say. Listen and respond. Show love and grace. Because in a second here, I want you to turn to the people around you, and I want to take 3 minutes. I want you to share with them one, two, or a couple of ways about how Jesus has physically impacted your life, how following has changed your life. You personally, not me, not somebody else, you. Listen, celebrate that together. You know what? There might be some people here who says, you know what, I don't think Jesus has. I'm not sure if I believe in Jesus and God. And if that's you, judgment-free zone. Just say, I don't know if He has. And that's okay. Because we're here together. We're here to talk. And we're here to share. And that's what I want to do right now. Let's share together. I'm going to give you 3 minutes to talk with people around you and share. How has God impacted your life? Go ahead. Oh my, I know that's totally unfair to ask you to share something as monumental as that and cut you off at 3 minutes, but I have to. I have to. Because we got so much more to do. So continue your stories afterwards, please. If this is the impact of having Jesus in your life, if this is the impact of being a Jesus follower, this life change, this hope, this excitement, this community, If this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus, then why in the world are we so timid to share it with others? Why? You see, back in August, I was talking with the high school students during Sunday school, and we were talking about being real and talking about sharing this great gift that we have and this hope and this clarity that comes from having a worldview found based on the Bible and what God has taught us about what this world is and how we fit into it and everything. And then we looked at scriptures like Matthew chapter 5, where Jesus says, "We are the light of the world." What do you do with a light? You set it on a pedestal so it would give light to everyone in the house. We looked at the fact that in 1 Peter, we are called to be ready to give a defense for the hope that we have. We look at the Great Commission that Jesus has challenged us to go and to make disciples. And we talk about what it means to be the church and how to support one another and how to worship together and come together and read His Word and study and sacrifice together and be involved with missions. But when it comes to talking about it, we start to get uncomfortable. And as we talked about it with the students, I got the exact same response from them as what you gave me. Because when I started hitting hard on it a few minutes ago, all of a sudden everybody's eye contact disappeared. Our shoes became very interesting as we started to feel uncomfortable. And not on that Sunday morning, we were talking about why it was so uncomfortable, why it was so scary to consider talking about our faith with others. And although we knew it might be a little hard, a little scary, we committed to having three conversations. Our goal was to have three conversations in that upcoming week where we would seize the opportunity to share the hope that we have, to speak about why we go to church, or why I follow Jesus, or whatever opportunity God provides. We were going to commit to trying to seize three opportunities. And it was going to be a little awkward for us. And so we named our conversations awkward conversations. We admitted that's what we thought it was going to be. But we're going to make a commitment to one another to try to have three awkward conversations this next week. And so over the course of October and November specifically, and we've continued that on since then, we have had a goal every single week to have three awkward conversations, knowing that we might not be perfect with it. But that's okay. And rather than me just talking about these awkward conversations, I would like to have our high school students come on up here and join us on stage, and let's hear from their own mouths how things went. So you guys want to come on here and join us, please? Thank you, everybody. All right, go ahead and turn on the microphone, and we got them to work. All right, will you introduce yourself and then pass the microphone down?
Hi.
I'm Lance.
Ladies first.
Hi, I'm Chloe.
I'm Laura.
I'm Mariah.
I'm Maddie.
I'm Natalie.
Trey.
And I'm Lance.
All right, very good. This is just a sampling of our high school students. And like I said, back in October, we talked about these awkward conversations. And as we were sitting there, and I were talking with you guys about this, we were feeling a little sheepish, right? We were a little concerned, a little nervous. What were the thoughts running through your head that first week we were talking about going out and committing to having awkward conversations this week? Who would like to share? Lance?
What have I gotten myself into?
What have I gotten myself into? All right, very good. Trey?
Dang it. Not again.
Absolutely. Anybody else thoughts?
I was really nervous, and like I just like, I don't know, like I didn't want to do it, but then I was like, I had to do it like for God and stuff.
All right, very good. Laura?
I feel like labeling it awkward just makes you go into it and you're like, Well, I mean, at least I did it, but that was awkward.
We called it what we expected it to be, right? Yeah. I mean, we were a little nervous, and we talked about all the things that get in the way. We talked about the fact that we might not have all the answers. I heard that, well, I didn't go to Bible college. How can I do that? And so we haven't practiced it. And so when you do something new that you've never done before, it's going to feel a little awkward. And so we just owned up to it. And awkward conversations was a nice way to put what we were trying to do. Okay, what was the scariest thing that happened in one of your awkward conversations? Let's start with the worst things. What was the scariest things that happened? Or scariest things that happened with the awkward conversations? Yeah.
Well, I was at a cross-country meet, and I was like, well, this seems like a good time. We're waiting for a race to start. So I brought up God to one of my friends, and I asked him, what does he like to do on his downtime? He said he likes to play video games, and I told him that I like to go to church and read. And he says, well, you must live a pretty boring life.
All right. If the scariest thing that happened in all your awkward conversations was somebody claiming you have a boring life, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Chloe, you have something you want to share about these scary things that happened? Or what was the scariest part about the awkward conversations?
Me, honestly, I'm a very awkward person, so I make every situation kind of awkward. Which, honestly, probably starting the conversation was the scariest part, because I actually had to do something to, like, start the conversation. So, yeah, it's probably starting the conversation.
All right. So the scariest thing that happened over the course of all your conversations was probably getting started at the very beginning. And is that safe to say? Is that safe for most of you guys to agree that was the scariest part that happened? One of the things that we used to do every single week after our first Sunday of talking about this was I'd stand up in front of the class, and I'm like, all right, let's make sure everybody's here. Make sure we didn't lose anybody along the way. Nobody was lynched, stoned, or run out of town. Everybody survived every single week. And as we discovered, we actually didn't lose any friends along the way either. We had maybe some challenging conversations, but we didn't lose friends in the process. Okay. Let me ask you this. Who do you think was more scared during these awkward conversations? Was it us or the people that we were talking to?
Us.
Pretty much resoundingly, all it was us. We were the ones who were more scared. What was the response from the other people? Lance?
To them, it was just a normal conversation. It would be like talking about football or, you know, what their day was. They just want to talk to us, and we put it as such a big deal in our head, but it's really not.
Right. So we feel like the awkwardness more came from our end than the other people. Everybody else wanted that as well? I mean, these are our friends, our family, our schoolmates, people that we talk to all the time. And sometimes we deal with some really serious things in conversation with what's going on with life. And so simply talking about this is just another one of those things. Not a huge deal. It's part of who we are, so why would we not talk about that? And yet we're the ones who feel so awkward and scared and nervous. Yes, Laura.
Part of it is the buildup, because you have it planned. You're like, oh, I'm going to talk to this person, whereas they have no idea it's even coming. So like Lance said, it's just a normal conversation. Yep. As you have this idea in your preconceived idea in your mind of what's going to happen.
Right. And so we talked early on about trying to frame that in the right framework here of what we were wanting to do. What was our goal for having these awkward conversations?
Have an awkward conversation.
Have an awkward conversation. We didn't have a goal of leading somebody to the cross or bringing them up to the baptistry. We weren't hoping for instant conversion? No, that was not our goal. Our goal was to simply have the conversation. We are called to be the light. We are called to be to give testimony. We are called to give a defense for the hope that we have. Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, Who brings the fruits? Who brings the harvest? God does. We can't bring somebody to make a decision for Christ. And that's okay. That's not my job. That's not their job. That's not your job. Our job is to simply share our testimony, to speak up, to be real, to be transparent. And so when we set for ourselves the goal of simply having the awkward conversations, all of a sudden being able to do it becomes a lot more manageable. Because I can talk. They can talk. And so what we choose to talk about is on us. So we set the tone. We wanted to have these awkward conversations. Okay, let me ask you this. Did you guys see any results of these awkward conversations? Do you think somebody is closer today to maybe being open to following Jesus than they were before? Yes? Somebody want to talk?
You go, Trey.
Well, not only maybe if someone's, you know, feeling down, you can make them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
But also you can make them think about maybe moving towards going to church or a youth event or, you know, Super Bowl Sunday.
Right. Absolutely.
And that's like, that's a really good thing. That's why we're here, and it's a command by God. It's not just you telling them, it's God telling them.
Right. Okay.
So there's this boy in my acting class, and every year we have mock acting auditions, and we have to sing in front of the class. And I sung a Christian song, a song from For King and Country. And afterwards, this boy, he came up to me, and he said, "Man, that was a really meaningful song." And we started talking about it, and I noticed that, like, every single day, we would always have, like, these really deep conversations about God, and it, like, really tested my faith, and it was really emotional conversation. And he started going to church with his grandma. He goes to First Free. And I think that is the coolest thing that, I don't know, I have ever experienced, is that he's now willing to go to church with his family and not as resistant anymore, just cool. By, like, a tiny awkward conversation that made me uncomfortable, but not him.
Awesome. So we never know, do we, what conversation it is, what's going to be just enough to nudge somebody to respond. You might be the first person to talk to them. You might be the 20th person. And when they choose to respond, how they choose to respond, it's not on us. Our job is just simply to be the light, speak when we need to. All right. Unfortunately, our time is running quickly away. What would you like to tell everybody else here about these conversations? Something that you learned the course along these awkward conversations. What pearls of wisdom do you have? Mariah?
We expect the turnout to be bad, and that's why we call them an awkward conversation. But in all reality, it's just a conversation that has the potential of bringing someone closer to God. And why not take that step? It's not that hard.
All right. Thank you. Laura?
How you react is everything, because if they respond with something negative, like this week I was called a Jesus freak, instead of taking that as, wow, like, how could you be this way and get offended over it, you can say, wow, thank you for the compliment. I really appreciate it, because what is better than praising God?
Exactly. Nothing. All right. Thank you. Trey?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Just get it done. It's never going to happen unless you take that first step. It only takes, you know, one word, one mention, you know, just if you're in the middle of a conversation, find a way to bring it up, and then it'll move on from there.
Okay. Thank you. Chloe?
I would challenge you guys, like yourself, to do it, because, I don't know, I love being challenged, and this is really interesting, and this is a command that God gives us, and so do it. Just do it. Like.
All right. Lance?
I was going to say that.
You were going to say that? All right. Very good. All right, sorry. Let's give them a round of applause for being brave
I'm
enough
sorry.
To share
just
with us.
Just do it. Thank you.
You guys can go on back to your seats. You just take it down. That's fine. You know, walking into this, we really expected things to go worse than what they did. We were prepared to lose friends. We were prepared to be laughed at, just for it to be horrible. And over the course of the couple of months that we talked about this, we took some time to go back and evaluate. How many times did people actually resist what we had to say, and did it become a challenging experience? Well, only about 10%. We expected opposition at least 50% of the time, but actually 85 to 90% of the time, we found that people were very open to talking about it. And that shocked us, you know. And so all this fear that we had built up in our minds was for nothing. And so we had a very receptive audience. We admitted that we expected the things to be awkward, and that gave us the freedom to feel that way. On one hand, that was very freeing, because when you do something new for the very first time, it is awkward. It's a little difficult. But one of the things that we committed to doing was we're going to have the conversations, three a week. But we didn't leave it at that. After the conversations were done, we came back together that following Sunday. We shared about them, things that went well, things that didn't go well. We prayed for the conversation to continue on. We prayed for the people that we talked to. And there was times that questions were asked, and they didn't have the answers. And they said, you know what, I don't know. And so sometimes they were able to work them out. Sometimes they brought them back to us on Sunday, and we worked on them together to be able to continue that conversation later. Another thing that one of our students really learned was the value of opening up or asking good questions, good open-ended questions. Because if we want people to listen to what we have to say, we need to listen to what they have to say and start with where they're at. And then finally, we learned that it's important for us to manage our expectations. We can't make anybody respond. What we can control, what we can do, is choose what we do. If we can choose to speak or be silent, that's the choice that we have. Our high school students, they accepted the challenge. Over the course of October and November, we chronicled about 35 to 40 awkward conversations. That's with our group of 12. What if we as a congregation stepped up and took that charge? Instead of 12 people, we're talking 300. Instead of having 30 to 40 awkward conversations, now we're talking about reaching 900 to 1,000. Do you think God could do something with that? Absolutely. We want to make an impact in this world. No greater impact can I think of than standing up and being willing to have an awkward conversation. Awkward because we're not used to it. Maybe we're a little nervous. But our students discovered, when you pray for opportunities, God provides them. When you pray for God to give you the words to say, He gives them. What are we going to do? It's going to require you stepping outside of your comfort zone. But I think we can do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, saying what needs to be said, it can be scary. Father, we too often go the way of the easy route, and rather than speaking up, we choose just to blend in and let the opportunity go by. Father, help us to take you at your word, to stand up and to give testimony to you, to speak out about our faith, to share the wonderful things that you have done within our lives. Father, help us to find encouragement and strength from the great work that was done through our students. Father, help us to take their lead and speak up. Speak up at home and at work with our neighbors, so they might discover the greatest thing in our life, which is you. God, that's our prayer. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you noticed all the themes of water that can be found in the Bible? You have the floods, the rains, and oceans and storms. It's great. You can compare grace to the ocean. It's abundant, and both can sweep us away in one solid swish. We're drowning in grace. The cool thing about this next song is that it takes a step even further. You can find a meaning in the song without even pointing it at grace. You see, we live so much of our lives in a bubble of comfort. We don't like to live by faith, or we don't like to do something dangerous. We want God to do something in our lives, but we do little to facilitate it. In Matthew 14, it's the story of Jesus walking on water, and it matches the song perfectly. Wouldn't it be great to be like Peter? I would think I would like to do what he did, but chances are neither I nor you would. I want to be like Peter when I walk by someone who's crying or living on the street. I want to be like Peter when someone new comes to church. I want to be like Peter every day in my everyday conversations. I want to be like Peter in the moments that matter most.
Please stand with us.
That you may know, and it's called Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge is a true story of a 23-year-old man with a strong faith in Christianity named Desmond Doss, who signed himself up in the U.S. Army in World War II. He later had trouble signing up in the military because he said he would never touch a rifle in his life. He then was enlisted as a medic. This movie takes place on a 400-foot cliff in the Battle of Okinawa in Japan. The Japanese set this high cliff with traps and machine guns all over Hacksaw Ridge. But Desmond stuck with his faith in the most brutal times by getting beat up by his own men, challenged by his commanders. After facing a very brutal battle, nearly all are killed, and Desmond risks his life by staying with the injured, while the other Americans who are alive return back to camp. But Desmond tried to save his companions in battle by lowering them down the 400-foot cliff by rope and his strong faith in God. He then rescues 75 men, nearly all American and even some Japanese, while being under fire. Desmond Doss was awarded the Purple Heart, the Medal of Honor, and 9 more honorable medals. Desmond Doss's courage and faith in God is very similar to what Jesus did for us, as he died on the cross for all of our sins. There is a verse in the Bible in John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." As we prepare to take communion, we realize how horrible sin is and why we need communion. That is why we need this bread, which represents Jesus' flesh, and why we need the juice, which represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And this is why we need a Savior. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so blessed with everything you have provided us. And for this time, we have to honor the sacrifice of your Son. We are grateful for your amazing grace, the blood that was shed of our dreadful sins. In your Son's name, amen.